I promised we have some very exciting local live coverage of a very important issue, which is Saving Canada Post, a community effort that involves trade unions, citizens groups, internet mobilization. And we have one of the founders and leaders of that movement, Henry Evans Tenbrink, with us today. Doug is going to be interviewing him, and I know people are tuning in just to hear that specifically. So we're gonna take a very short break, station promo, so you know what station you're listening to, and then we'll be right back with Doug and Henry.
Hello, it's Doug here. We're back after the short break, and as Brendan mentioned, we've got a really good guest and interview coming up on Canada Post. For almost the last 2 years, Canada Post has been in the process of trying to eliminate home delivery and putting in all these community mailboxes to scar our urban land space. And, you know, it might be a game changer here with the election, because Prime Minister elect Trudeau was very clear, saying that he would stop this program of ending home delivery, and so we hope that continues. But you know, hundreds of thousands of homes have been have lost their home delivery, and just early this week, Canada Post made an announcement that they were putting a moratorium on, but only after they had completed some more areas to stop home delivery. So we're joined today by Henry Evans Tenbrink. Henry, welcome.
Thank you.
And Henry, you've been an important player locally in this whole issue, with you and neighbors and other activists offering active resistance to the Canada Post plans to end home delivery.
Thank you for that, Doug. But you know, there have been a lot of people behind the scenes that have been supporting what I've been doing as well. But the initial goal that we wanted to establish was that there's always been this myth that one person can't make a change, and I think I dispelled that this summer. One person can make a change. You know, I'm very pleased that we inspired people right across the country to take action. As a matter of fact, London, they're still taking action. There's something like their 85th or 86th day of occupying a site, and I'm very proud of my friends there. What prompted me to take on this issue was the fact that I'm sick and tired of seeing the government agenda of taking away our social programs and those programs that belong to us as Canadians. Canada Post is a Crown corporation, and as such, it belongs to Canadians. And we have a right to have a say in what happens to our services. And there's been a move, especially under the last government, to completely privatize all our social services, and Canada Post included. And for example, there's always been the myth that Canada Post is losing money. But taking, for example, the first quarter of 2015, Canada Post posted a $24 million profit. And you know, this was before taxes. But, you know, I've always thought that government corporations were not there to make a profit. They were there to serve the citizens of Canada. And so it's time that they go back to that policy. The other thing is Canada Post, by their own study, did a study into postal banking. And if they initiate postal banking, Canada Post themselves said that it's a win-win situation for both Canada Post and the mail customers. So, but under pressure from the big banks and the conservative government of the day, they caved and turned the banking over to the big banks, which resulted in when municipalities have to take loans or governments have to take loans, they're paying exorbitant interest fees to these big banks, whereas under the Canada Post and the government banking, they received loans at a very, very reasonable rate. And so the other thing is that there's this myth out there that we as taxpayers are paying for Canada Post, and nothing's further from the truth. Canada Post is a self-sustaining entity.
Yeah, in fact, I've been looking at the figures, financial figures for Canada Post, and find out that nearly every year they're making a substantial profit. I think there was, but they always highlight 2011. As a year they lost money, but they don't mention all the years before and since where they've been making money.
Well, the other issue that they don't mention was that the only year that they lost money was the year that they locked out their workers. And then they turned around and said that the workers were on strike, and the government of the day turned around and legislated them back to work when it was the corporation that locked them out.
Right. Now, you've mentioned about public service and mail delivery is viewed, I think, around the world as a public service. It's something that you just expect a civilized country to have. And in fact, I think virtually every country in the world has a postal system. So, and I think at least the wealthier countries, I think universally they have home delivery. Is that the case?
That's true. Canada will be the only country, the only developed country that does not have home delivery. I applaud the fact that they've ceased installing the boxes for now, but they said the reports say it's only temporary, they're steadying it. So it's not a done deal yet. They're still looking at continuing with installing the mailboxes. And I think people need to rise up. I mean, by being silent, you're condoning what they're doing, and we need to speak out.
Right, and I'm privileged because we bought our house, in fact, before the whole issue came up. So we're in an older area, so we have home delivery, which we really value. I can hardly imagine not having home delivery. I think it was 1985 when they started to slowly get rid of it by not putting home delivery into the newer subdivisions.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's another issue in itself, Doug. What people don't realize is they're saying, Canada Post says they have a right to do what they want and they don't have to consult with anybody. But when they put the community boxes into these new subdivisions, they had to consult with the contractors and on where they put the boxes, and so they were forced to consult with the contractors, and yet they said, when they put it in the new areas, they don't have a necessity to consult with anybody. I mean, my friend, I occupied a site for 20 days, and the police came to me and said I had every right to be there to protest and to sit on that spot, and yet when my friend Rick occupied the site on his own lawn. He was arrested and charged with mischief under $5,000 and then locked into a police car with the windows up with no air conditioning on one of the hottest summer days and forced to sit there. Now, this gentleman's 70 years old. If they had done this to a dog or a child, they'd be under arrest and charged. The police didn't even bother pressing the charges because they realized it was frivolous. And so this is the sort of thing we're dealing with. The police claim to be neutral, but at the end of the day, they supported Canada Post.
Yeah, and the city try to get an injunction, didn't they, against Canada Post?
They did, and the judge that handled the case was very biased. As a matter of fact, his first statement on the first day of the trial was, "This better not be political." Well, if this isn't political, what is it? And then he was biased right through. He picked and chose what testimony was being allowed to be presented. But the city of Hamilton is going ahead with their appeal. They are appealing the ruling, so it's not over yet.
Yeah, and my understanding of the ruling was it was sort of the Canada Post Act, and it goes really back to BNA, I think, that The federal government can run roughshod over the lower levels of government, and especially municipalities, so that they can basically do what they like on municipal land.
Well, our stand is that laws are laws, no matter whose laws they are, and they need to be obeyed and followed. And you know, the city wasn't saying to the Canada Post that they couldn't put in the boxes. What they said was they had to consult with the city first, so the city had a chance to see if the areas they wanted to put the boxes were safe. And Canada Post would not even do that. And that's the other issue. I mean, there are thousands of seniors and people with mobility issues that they say, oh, well, we'll give them delivery once a day. That's not good enough. I mean, you know, my parents, for example, on West Fifth, they have to go down this steep hill to get their mail, and it's just an accident waiting to happen.
Right. You know? You know, when you think of the double standard they have on the new subdivisions where they do work closely with the developer, you know, for appropriate sites and so on, but then to come into established neighborhoods and just run roughshod over the municipality and the local citizens, it just doesn't seem fair.
That's exactly right, Doug. And I was dealing with a person, you know, who lives near me, and when they were putting the box in by his site, he fought it, and they told him, "Well, it's only temporary. You know, we're gonna be moving the box again." And they gave him phone numbers to call to check on it. So when he finally did call them, the numbers had all been discontinued, so there was nobody to call. Finally, a manager got in touch with him and said, "Oh, well, we're going to move the box within 60 days," and it still hasn't been moved. I mean, you know, they lie through their teeth.
Yeah, and you know, I know that in areas served by these community mailboxes, there's often complaints because you know, you get a lot of junk mail, and unfortunately there'll be a tendency for people to discard the junk mail and, you know, just create a lot of litter around the site.
There's the litter issue. There's also the environmental issue because, you know, and I have to admit I'm guilty myself. I have a mobility issue, so I get my car to go and pick up my mail. And if you add that up exponentially, that puts a lot of added stress on the environment, vis-a-vis, greenhouse gases.
Right. More car movements.
More carbon. And people being people, I mean, they do that. I mean, some people have to go a few blocks to get their mail. And so, you know, they get in their car and get, whereas in the past when we had, letter carriers delivering the mail to, you know, to three or, you know, anywhere from 300 to 500 homes. I mean, that left a real, you know, ecologically friendly footprint.
Yeah, not just the ecology, but the community. I always viewed having a letter carrier daily walking through your community as a very good thing for a community. You've got somebody who's totally reliable. They're a federal worker, you know, if you're isolated, well, that it's sort of reassuring that you, at least, you know, once a weekday, you're going to have, an agent of the crown walking through delivering your mail.
And that's a very good point, because, I mean, if you look at it, I mean, I lost count how many times letter carriers have saved people's lives, you know, but either they were ill or suffered a heart attack and, you know, or the letter carrier noticed the mail was piling up in their mailbox, so they checked on them. They've caught and reported fires before they've become serious. They've stopped burglaries. You know, so the list just goes on and on. I mean, it's a very valuable service. I mean.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, across Canada, letter carriers are very well respected and trusted. You know, they're handling your mail, they might have checks and so on, and they have a wonderful reputation, and it'd be a shame to move away from that system, or at least continue to move away from this marvelous system that we've had for as long as I remember.
And that's the other issue, is the security of the mail. I mean, the last day of my occupation on Brucedale, at that time it was reported that there had been something in the neighborhood, just in 2015, something in the neighborhood of 4,000 break-ins in these community mailboxes that are supposed to be secure.
Mm-hmm.
One instance on East 34th, my friend saw kids fooling around by the mailbox, and they got it open.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. So, I mean, how secure is your mail?
Well, not only that, but if you have to go to a community mailbox and you're by yourself and you're feeling vulnerable and you're opening your mailbox out just in the wide open space there, to me, it's like having an ATM in the middle of nowhere. It's not a safe setting, I think, for a lot of people.
Well, that's another issue. That's a very good point. I've seen areas where the mailboxes are right in the middle, near Westmount High School. There's a community mailbox, and it's set up right against the forest. There's a small forest area there. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are mailboxes that are set up on school boundaries. It just opens up a whole gamut of safety issues speaking to CUPW myself, their safety officer told me that there are still a number of sites that were deemed by Canada Post themselves to be unsafe, and they were supposed to move the boxes. They still haven't done it.
Right. And, when we look at the breakdown, in fact, I think there's confusion about this. How many people have home delivery right now? And we do know that there's several hundred thousand have lost home delivery just in the last 18 months. What is the breakdown? How many people?
I can tell you that right now, Doug. And this is a study done by the Council of Canadians. What it is 40%. The myth is that two-thirds of Canadians no longer get door-to-door delivery. The truth of the matter is that actually 40% of Canadians still get mail to their door, 20% get mail in the lobby of their apartment buildings, and 5% get mail at the mailbox at the end of their driveway. Mm-hmm. Now, to me, those figures add up to 65% of Canadians still getting door-to-door delivery.
Yeah, I think people living in condos and apartments, they were basically regarded as home delivery because it's within the same building.
And if you look at most buildings, most buildings already had their mail slots down in the lobby.
Right.
For security reasons, the mailman had access to them and he could put the mail in the slots in the building. But you're right, it's still, at the end of the day, it's still home delivery.
Yeah, and
because you're not having to deal with the weather and adverse conditions and safety conditions.
And in some small communities, where people have either mailboxes or general delivery, they're not out in the open. You go actually into a real post office and retrieve your mail. So it's a much more secure setting.
Absolutely.
These community mailboxes, I'm just thankful that I don't have to use them myself, at least for the time being. I really do hope that the new government follows through on their promise and does stop this. Thinking beyond that, I think most of us see Canada Post as an essential public service in Canada, and one that could play a bigger role because we have this nationwide infrastructure set up, and you'd mentioned banking.
Yeah.
And I think most countries use their postal system also to provide some banking services.
Exactly. As I was saying before, postal banking is a win-win situation for everybody involved. It's especially useful to rural areas where the major banks have, you take Linden, for example. There was a bank of, I think there was a CNIB branch in Linden, and they closed down. So now they have to come into Hamilton to do their banking. Whereas if there's a postal banking outlet, not only can they do just general banking, and this doesn't involve getting loans and everything, it's just very general banking, but people can cash their checks there without paying exorbitant interest rates. the ones that are really opposing postal bankings are the big banks and these new
payday loans.
Payday loan, yeah. You know.
Yeah, they seem to be sprouting up everywhere, and the interest rates are just astronomic. Like I think the advertisement for one says 100 for 300 for 50 or something.
Yeah.
But when you do the math, it works out to something like 400%.
I know. It's unconscionable.
I understand that we do have a usury law, but I it doesn't seem to click in. Maybe you have to get into the 1,000% range.
Well, people have to realize that there's one law for us as citizens, and there's another law for the corporate entities, you know.
Yeah. But if people that are using payday loan now could cash their check at the post office, that would certainly fulfill a need and prevent people from having to pay these exorbitant interest rates.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So
the other thing, Doug, is and what we haven't touched on this yet is the effect this has on the economy. I mean, it's destroying thousands of good paying, you know, sustaining jobs. And that money is being taken out of the community, and it has, you know, what people don't realize is it does have a domino effect in that it affects people's decisions to make major purchases, and so, you know, it has a domino effect on our economy as well. I mean, and which they're claiming that we're in trouble, so, you know.
Right. And, you know, letter carriers, these are good quality jobs. You know, like we have so much precarious employment, and even in for that function, when you look at the people that deliver flyers in Hamilton and Burlington and all urban areas, that the pay there is, I think, generally minimum wage. And there's no job security. It's often day by day. And so I think it's, you know, if we didn't have Canada Post delivery, I think there would be a proliferation of this kind of service where the workers, they just are not making a livable wage, and they don't have the job security and the other benefits that we have through this great home delivery system.
Yeah. Well, one of the goals of this whole endeavor is to privatize mail delivery, you know, and there's no doubt about that. And what that, I mean, at the end of the day, when you privatize something like that, you end up with lower wages, you end up with poorer service, and we've seen what happens with public services that have gone private. I mean, all you have to do is look at the P3s and the reports that are coming on that. And you know, I know I may be getting a bit off topic here, but, you know, I'm sick and tired of the government, you know, caving into corporations. Basically, you know, it's not a government of the people. It's the government of the corporations, and they're setting the agenda. And that's why I was sort of disappointed in the results of this election with the Liberals getting a majority government. Because once you get a majority government, there's nothing to stop you from doing your agenda, and the public be damned, you know, if you don't like it, tough.
Right.
You know, we need to bring back government of the people, you know, where we have a say, and not the corporations and not money. Yeah. Because right now that's what politicians are worried about is where their campaign donations are coming from. And it's not all politicians. You know, I have to qualify that. There are good politicians out there that are concerned about their constituents.
So with that thought in mind, Henry, you know, you and others have been very active in fighting the end of home delivery and these community mailboxes. For our listeners and people like myself, what can we do to ensure that we can stop this process and maybe reverse it?
The first thing is to inundate your MP, and especially if you have a Liberal MP.
Which is almost, you know, everybody now.
I know, but you have to go after your politicians,
right,
and let them know that you're concerned. And you know, as I said at the beginning, I mean, by remaining silent, you're condoning. You know, you're not having any effect. And And so you need to get off your chair and or your couch.
Right.
And get active. I mean, and it doesn't take much. You don't have to donate a whole whack of time. I mean, 5, 10, 15 minutes here and there makes a big difference.
Right.
And I realize not everybody can get out there and sit at a site for a day, you know, like I did. But, you know, it just shows that one person can make a difference. And not only nationally, but internationally. I was interviewed by Al Jazeera, with BBC, Wall Street Journal. And it does grab attention. And so it's important to get active.
Well, that's for sure. And Henry, you certainly have been very active and very, I think you can take some credit for building this public support for continued home delivery and for building up Canada Post, you know, that a larger issue, but one that we all need to support, a good public mail system.
Yeah. And while we have had a victory here, I mean, there's no taking that away, but it's definitely not the end of the battle. And I certainly won't be stopping my fight. But we have to realize that it's a victory in a battle and not the war. The war still continues. I mean, you know, I hate to use that analogy, but we are fighting, you know, for our rights. And this is one of our rights. And we need to start standing up for it because they're slowly taking our rights away from us.
Right.
And you know, if we allow them to get away with one thing, they'll go to another and another and another. It doesn't stop. You know, like for now it's postal delivery. It started out with healthcare. They're destroying our healthcare system. Now they're destroying our postal system. And it's got to stop somewhere. And people have to stand up and say enough is enough.
Right, as you have done very effectively. So I think our time is up. Henry, thanks so much for joining us and updating us on the struggle to protect home delivery.
And the struggle's not over. Keep tuned.
Thanks so much, Doug and Henry. And that was really great that you were able to bring that to us without interruption by angry talk show hosts or whatever, you know. Yeah, no, we really appreciate that. And to have you right in the studio here in Hamilton, where a lot of this campaign originated, you know, and then we can bring this outwards to the world. We broadcast, through our live streaming service at cfmu.mcmaster.ca. It's live into the world, but also this will be up on iTunes and Radio for All and SoundClick, and people from all over the world will be able to access this. And of course, the Canadian campaigners who are spread out from here to Quebec to wherever. So we very much appreciate that you're able to be here. And certainly it's true that one person can make a difference, as Henry has shown. And even if you can't prevent a mailbox from being put in yourself, you can, of course, go and join the online campaigns. Go to savecanadapost.ca. There's petitions. There's videos you can circulate to your friends and that sort of thing. So participation by ordinary individuals is what has kept this campaign going so long and perhaps led to some reversals on the part of the new government. And we want to encourage them to do the right thing and take the right positions. There's things that can be done in that regard. So I just I'd mention you can find us online, Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War.ca. There's a radio section. This will be up in that radio section. And I guess that's it for this week. So thanks very much for tuning in. We're always going to be bringing you the international news and live local coverage and that sort of thing. So until next week, take care.